You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Public transport is often discussed as an issue for commuting to work, but a good public transport system is one that benefits the whole community. Musician and public transport advocate Anthony Tonin is passionate about better public transport and the way it can help those in the creative industries. Anthony spoke at length about this, his experience with public transport in Aotearoa. I began by asking him how public transport can help him as a performer.
As a performer, it can be really useful. I mean, the amazing thing about being a performer is that you can get a lot of people in one space at one time. It's a really special and magical thing, and I think it's still something that as performers we start to take for granted. You know, we've all been guilty of grumbling because we only got 30 or 40 people at a show. But, you know, Netflix still isn't succeeding to get 30 or 40 people to turn up in one living room at 1, 7pm in one country or city at a time. So it's a really special thing, and public transport is such, it's a medium that's so well suited to that. And I guess that's what I discovered when I created a series of shows called Railland. I realised that it was crazy that we as performers were asking people to turn up at the same place in the same hour or two and leave at the same time, arrive at the same time, but we weren't thinking at all about public transport or how they got there. We were just sort of leaving that to the market. And so the concept with Railland was that we would ask people to take public transport together, both performer and audience, and if the public transport didn't exist or was inadequate for that purpose, as it was in more regional places, then we would charter the public transport ourselves. And it actually just became really, really joyous to have people travel together to a show.
And was this when you started to list the public transport planning on your Facebook pages? Because I've noticed for your gigs around the whole country, you provide options of buses and things like this for people to get to the gigs. Is this where this idea came from?
Yes, I guess it is. And it seems quite simple. I mean, yeah, with the first Railland show, so there were two kinds of Railland shows. There were the shows in Dunedin where we actually got the Dunedin Railways train company and we chartered a train so that when you bought a ticket, you were actually paying a small portion of the train hire as well. And so everyone knew that they turned up at the station at 6 and we had a specially dedicated train for them to take to the show and to take back again. And that was really wonderful. Now, but I didn't need to do that in Wellington and Auckland. And as you know, anyone will tell you, dealing with rail operators is incredibly difficult. So it was good I didn't have to do that in Auckland, because in a place like Auckland, you can actually make that work with 150 people. You just have to really think about the time. So yeah, for Railland shows, I would say to people on their ticket, okay, turn up at Britomart at this time, and we'll all take the train to Papatoetoe Station, and then the show is going to finish exactly at this time so that we can all take this train. I mean, more recently I've been doing non-Railland shows, but still thinking about the bus timetables, and yeah, it's just become a habit now to actually think about when the last service is. For example, the other day we played in Mosgiel, which is a sort of 20 minute south of Dunedin, and that does have a late night bus, but at night on a Friday night, the bus goes every hour and a half to 2 hours. So you have to be really strategic. The last bus is 10:30, which is maybe just that little bit earlier than you would normally want for a gig. But if the performer actually thinks about this and goes, well, okay, there's a 6:30 bus to Mosgiel, so maybe people should be taking that bus in. We should start the show a little bit earlier than we normally would. Start it at 7:30, and then we'll get everybody away at 10 so that they can definitely catch the 10:30 bus. I mean, it did make me think back to all the shows I'd done and been to and cities. And, you know, for example, I remember going to shows at the Pai Kakariki Hall, St. Peter's, outside of Wellington, which is smack bang by a train station. I am pretty sure that every show I went to there, no one had ever thought about the train schedules. And most likely what that meant was that the band was playing their encore 5 minutes after the last train had left. And so you were just sentencing people to having to have one driver or get their parents to pick them up or something like that. And there is a little bit of responsibility on the performer as well. I mean, I have some friends who advocate hard for Auckland Transport to provide better nighttime services to support, you know, the night industries and night culture, and I think that's really important. But also, if there is a bus that is 15 minutes before you would normally finish your show, you could also just think about that. And, you know, I'm a big person for actually existing urbanism. You know, there are great services around that are definitely struggling right now. Something that can make you feel a little less powerless is to actually just think strategically and go, well, how can we make the best use of this system as it actually exists now? Because when we can help people to make public transport work for them, that can actually be quite joyous and can make us feel like we've got some mastery over our destiny.
And do you think that story about Pai Kakariki with the trains speaks to something deeper that's happening in New Zealand and maybe has been happening for a long time, where, as you sort of mentioned, public transport exists, but no one really considers the actual implications or the sort of way that we can use it? Because we talk about it for commuting a lot, and it's always about commuter traffic, but this idea that, as you sort of briefly touched on there, this idea that public transport can actually help the community outside of working hours for going to gigs and art and going out for a restaurant, do you think it just maybe a bit of a sort of attitude shift or a mind shift from the public could help the services that we already have?
Yeah, it's a big opportunity. I mean, yes, definitely the discussion about public transport in the media or just in public parlance over the last 20, 30 years, even as public transport has gotten a lot better in Auckland and in Wellington and Christchurch, a lot of focus amongst non-transport experts on commuter traffic and your peak commuter times. But actually, in modern network planning, which is sort of the popular thing for public transport nerds, the greatest gains from public transport are actually when you think about just providing a really big net that can catch everything. And particularly, we're seeing a lot of gains for systems where you provide all-day frequency. And Auckland has actually been a really bold pioneer of this in the New Zealand context. Maybe led there by Christchurch in the first instance in the 2000s, but, you know, the recent changes in Auckland where Waiheke Island, for example, a tiny sort of city-state of 8,000 people has 15-minute frequency buses from early morning to late at night. In Whanganui, we fought hard to get a new frequent service that runs all day, every 20 minutes. And we had lots of pushback from institutions because their thinking was always, oh, no, you provide lots of service during the peak times in the morning and the peak times after work. Whanganui fought to get all-day 20-minute frequency on our new trial service, the Tide. And what we've found so far is that our highest use is between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. And what that shows is it shows a couple of things, but one of them is that it's also, when you're trying to build new patronage for a service, it's much easier to get the people who have flexibility during the day to use the bus more often in those middle times than it is to convince people who feel stressed and time poor and are just so used and attached to taking their car in the morning to suddenly take up commuting.
Yeah, and how do we break this this reliance on cars? Because it is, something that is a big problem here in Auckland is this idea that, you know, a car is the way that you get around a city. We have buses, we have trains. They can be unreliable at times, but they are there. How do you think we could break that reliance of that attitude towards being so car-centric that, as you say, is a problem throughout the country, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough and it's frustrating, but you get there step by step. I mean, one thing is great advertising. I mean, we haven't really been doing much of it in the last 30 years. It's always been this idea that we just make the service and then hope that people come. But Auckland's actually been quite good in doing that advertising. And I mean, Auckland does have to give itself some credit, and Aucklanders. I mean, the change on those buses since I moved to Auckland as a young person from Dunedin in 2010, I mean, and when I left in 2017, you know, there are a lot more people on suits on the buses and on the trains than there were when I started. You know, it's interesting to go back to a place like Whanganui where, you know, when I arrived here in 2017, there was no advertising for the buses whatsoever. And you know, there were barely any sort of timetable signs or anything like that. I guess when you're trying to get new users for your bus system, you put a new system in, and the first people you're probably going to get are the people who are already using the bus. And you know, that might be people, you know, who don't own a car or, you know, depend on the bus. But if you can get them to take it more often, then that gets your ridership up. Probably your highest hanging fruit are the people who have a big, you know, SUV or a couple of them in the garage. And, you know, you can win those people over, but I think you shouldn't expect to get them on day one, but you should be trying to tempt them with actually great service. You know, and I think once Auckland has its drivers back, you know, what Auckland's actually aiming for is quite good. You know, I see a lot of routes in Auckland have 7.5-minute frequency. And, you know, new electric buses, if we combine that with good marketing, which Auckland also does better than most of the country, we can actually convince those people. There's also, of course, carrot and stick. And you know, there are some sticks in the Auckland system, obviously being pushed back against by the new new council a little bit. But it's always a balance of, you know, how much is going to be the carrot, your frequent buses, your advertising, your quality of the bus experience, and how much is going to be the stick and, you know, parking fees and that sort of thing.
That was musician and public transport advocate Anthony Tonnen.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.